Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting you through the summertime to football season. On Friday, we're going to be at Pizza John's doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. These are the Maryland treasures. I dig these. And the real treasure is the boardwalks. I got to get down there next month because it is summertime around here. Our friends at GBMC keeping me safe and sound all summer long. And Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys, keeping everybody comfortable. I tell you this, man. I woke up this morning. The humidity was crazy. I'd had the windows open because it was a nice night. Click the button, air conditioning came on. It's perfect. Change those air filters. Zach came on this week from Farnan and Dermer to tell us, hey man, the smoke last week, no bueno. Change the filters. You can get the cheap filters too. He told me that. So Luke Jones is here. He'll be a not so cheap filter for all things our Ravens next week. Once we get the thing going here, I hope it's not 109 when they break camp like it was 2 weeks ago, like it was when I had the microphone out for Rutschman in Philadelphia last week. But bound to happen. But camp's a lot different. Even Joe Flacco would say, "Ah, don't worry about Luke, man. These camps are nothing these days. Even 43-year-old guys can go to camp and be quarterbacks in Cincinnati." We're there, right? I mean, for all the hubbub of the Orioles and winning streaks and you turning down that big Boston trip last week, and the Phillies are coming to town next week, the whole deal, trading deadline, we got baseball stuff. But this is the first time we've talked football since you went away on vacation. The tragedy with Calais Campbell's family, just unspeakable. There's been some stuff, and I'll let you get to it, but by and large, it's time to go and, put the play on, as they say, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the biggest signal of that to this point is the signing of Ethan Posick, who's someone who gives them much more experience at the center position. Now, I want to be clear here. This isn't Tyler Linderbaum. This is someone who is pretty widely perceived to be on the backside, on the back nine of his career. He's going to be 36-year-old, or not 36, sorry. I didn't mean to scare everyone there. He's going to be 31 years old. In the first week of August. So, but he started 97 games. He started 13 games last year. And the reason why he was available was he tore his Achilles late last year, but had recently kind of been cleared to say, hey, I'm ready to go. And the Ravens had maintained some dialogue and maintained communication with him, but he's going to come in. I'm guessing they're not just going to hand him the starting job, but he has way more experience than the likes of Danny Pinter, certainly more experience than Javon Gwynn or Corey Bullock. He's going to be the guy, most likely. So I kind of view it through the lens of, that was kind of the last major piece that I think they needed to bring in, right? We can debate another edge rusher. We can debate another wide receiver being added to the mix. And maybe those things will still arrive at some point in time. Keep in mind, someone like Jadeveon Clowney was signed, I think, what, third week of August? And a few years ago, Kyle Van Noy was signed in late September, right? I mean, you can always make additions. But I think for this offense, with Declan Doyle being the new coordinator and a new offensive system, knowing how important pass protection is, especially when you have a franchise quarterback, especially when you have high expectations, especially after seeing how problematic it was last year. You couldn't sell me on the idea that you're going to go from Tyler Linderbaum to Danny Pinter, who has 10 career starts and a guy that's perceived by some to be better at guard than center anyway. So you bring in Posick. I think you and I talked about this in passing off the air the other day. If you're kind of looking at it in terms of one by one by one by one on the offensive line, right? Ronnie Stanley, year older, but coming off of a good year, you still have high expectations that Ronnie Stanley is going to be a good player, even if he's not going to be the all-pro that he once was, once upon a time. John Simpson, upgrade over Andrew Voorhees. I'm not saying that it's going to be going from a D minus kind of player to an A plus by any means. I think it's much more of a modest upgrade, but I think it's an upgrade. It better be because they're paying him $10 million a year. We'll get to center in a moment. Right guard, you go from Daniel Faalele to Vengo Ioane. You're hoping that that can be a pretty sizable upgrade. especially long term. You're hoping it's a home run of an upgrade. And then right tackle for me, like Roger Rosengarten, like this is the year. Take the next step, right? Turn yourself from a solid starting player to a very clear above average right tackle. And I think he has the ability to do that. So they love their offensive line coach and Dwayne Ledford. I'll hear all that. But you go back to the center, you couldn't have Tyler Linderbaum a year ago, who was A minus A kind of player, right? A three-time Pro Bowl center, and then have a D minus at the center position, right? Just looking at it in terms of, not an offensive line guru, but just looking at net positives and net negatives, in terms of going from 25 to 2026, that was a major, major, major drop-off on paper. You're hoping Ethan Posick can be, average starting center. If he can be that, coupled with upgrades at both guard spots, now you've got the makings of an offensive line that can be better than last year. Now, does it make it elite? Does it make it a top five starting offensive line? I'm not ready to go anywhere close to that point, but I think you have more optimism now because you've got a legitimate, experienced starter there. I mean, this is a guy who has played in the league since 2017, was a former second round pick. He's probably not going to play 17 games. He's not someone, he's someone who's had some nagging injuries here and there. But if he's recovered from the Achilles, I would think, barring him really looking like he's washed, quite frankly, I would think he's going to be the guy. And for me, that was, again, we'll talk about Matt Ibike. We'll talk about some other positions where they could upgrade or add some depth. But I mean, that center spot was just so glaring. Going through the spring and seeing the guys that were working there. So for me, this was a no-brainer. Again, we'll see how he fares. We'll see how much of a downgrade it is from Linderbaum to Posick, but I feel better about that than going Linderbaum to Danny Pinter, right? Or Javon Gwynn, who has barely even played in the league. So this is something they had to do, and I think the timing, came together well. They had the cap space to do it, and for me, it makes sense. And now you need to see him look the part, which, given his track record, there's a reasonable chance to think he can be decent there. He can be average there at this stage of his career.
Luke Jones is here. We're talking some Ravens football on the eve of camp and trying to answer these questions, right? Like, the first 30 years when Eric DaCosta was in my phone and I'd reach to him and he'd call me and we'd chat about things. He'd tell me what he felt good about, what he felt bad about, what he felt okay about. I mean, I can see the look on his face. How do you think he feels about it?
I mean, I think there's an excitement, I think, collectively, just to see what this looks like with a new head coach and a new coaching staff that they really like, right? I mean, they're excited. The difference here, when you hire a first-time head coach in Jesse Minter, and obviously Jesse had a ton of input and influence, and ultimately it's his staff. But when you are hiring a first-time head coach and someone who's on the younger side, he's not that young. I mean, Declan Doyle's 30 years old. Jesse Minter's around my age, right? But he has a li more limited coaching tree, so to speak, in terms of just all the who he's worked with. I mean, he's got some guys he's worked with in college. He's got some guys he's worked with in the NFL. Obviously, there are Harbaugh connections, both John and Jim, right? But this was a little more unique in the sense that Eric DaCosta was more involved with building out a staff. Unlike, when John Harbaugh's your head coach for 18 years and he's in his 60s and he's coached with so many different guys for so many different years and has all these different connections, this was different. So I think on that front, Eric has had an opportunity to put his fingerprints on this team a little bit more than usual. I don't want to. I don't want to make it sound like John ran the entire show across the board because, I mean, Eric's been the GM for quite a while, right? But so I think there's an excitement there. I think there's an excitement that they have a younger coaching staff. I think they feel that it can be a little more cutting edge, maybe a little more innovative. We'll see. There are lots of coaches and lots of young coaches who come in and are the flavor of the month. And then you realize, oh, that doesn't work as well, right? So there's that part of it. As it pertains to the roster, I mean, obviously, you kind of look at the headlines from March and April, Max Crosby, and then it's Trey Hendrickson, right? But they're really happy with Trey Hendrickson. I think they're happy with him throughout the spring. I think, especially if Nnamdi Matabike is in the picture, I think there's some excitement about what their pass rush can look like. Certainly compared to where it was last year, which was pretty non-existent. So you have that. The one thing that they didn't get done and they haven't gotten done to this point is the extension for Lamar Jackson, which I very much downplay that being a distraction as it pertains to on the field, right? I don't think Lamar's thinking about his contract when he's in the moment. I don't think anyone's thinking about that when they're in the moment, but it's something that hangs over their head, especially if there are health issues or things of that nature, right? So
You don't expect any movement on that, do you? Do you expect a next
If it's
week
gonna,
that's going to happen or
I
no?
mean, if it's gonna come, it feels like it's gonna be the next couple of weeks, right? Because it's one thing to talk about negotiating contracts during the season when there's an agent involved, but when it's the franchise quarterback and it's a new offensive system and you've got a very new interior offensive line, I mean, there's just a lot there for to then think that Lamar is going to be negotiating with Eric DaCosta in the evenings during training camp. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's impossible, but for me, it kind of felt like if it was going to happen, it was going to be in this dead period from mid-June up until they get things going next week. Now, I think training camp still does afford itself an environment where that could still theoretically happen. I think it's much more likely that it could still happen during training camp than when you get to week one. Then I really do feel like, all right, maybe other than maybe the bye week, this might be tabled, and then you're talking about it from the moment the season ends, whenever it is, January, February, whatever. So that's there. But I think, to go back to how Eric's feeling about this roster, they're counting on some veteran players at some pretty important spots. I know you've talked about that a whole lot. I'm not going to downplay that. I agree with you. I think there's certainly some veteran players, even if they're not as long in the tooth in terms of age, but you just look at production and not just their production, but how much they're making. I've talked about it. Someone like Roquan Smith. I'm just using him as an example. He's not like at the top of my list, but Roquan's not, it's not like he's a 35-year-old Ray Lewis trying to hold on, but he's making a whole lot of money, and they need a way better version of Roquan Smith than they've gotten over the last couple seasons. To me, that's just reality. Now, you're hoping Jesse Minter can unlock that, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons why they hired Jesse Minter, his area of expertise on the defensive side of the football, as the head coach. So you have some of that, but I think with them having added this, Posick as kind of the last, starting piece, let's at least say that much, even if they bring in a couple more veteran depth guys or something like that. But, once they, now that they've done that, I think you look at both sides of the ball, and that's not to say that there aren't some question marks or some areas of relative concern, but I think for the first time now, it feels like, okay, if you had to play a game on Sunday, this is a representative roster across the board. Certainly has some areas of strength. Certainly has a lot more turnover on the offensive side, right? I am very interested to see what this offense looks like, especially early in the season, given how much turnover there is, and given the fact that you have a first-time play caller as your offensive coordinator. So, the offense I could see being a little choppy early on. I think that's a fair concern, let's say.
Well, I think
Not
so
saying.
much of the offense is first down for me. Like
Sure.
first down,
Yeah.
positive yardage, good second down D and Ds. I mean, like that.
That's fun.
And that is the Lamar advantage. That is the
Derrick
difference
Henry.
maker. That, quite frankly, was not the Barry Sanders advantage, where sometimes he'd run backwards and put you in second and 16. That certainly is not the my left guard's going to jump off sides, or jump before the count and put you in first and 20. Just bad down in distances for this team, for what they want to accomplish, and for what Derrick Henry represents on first down and what Lamar used to represent. I don't think Lamar's running off tackle on first down on design plays anymore. I think Greg Roman left town three coordinators ago. So I certainly it is age and where they are and the volatility of all of this. Given if he takes the wrong hit in the wrong way and the wrong bone bruise. So I don't want to put him in eggshells, but wrap, bubble wrap him. But I, same thing with Derrick Henry and the Keaton Mitchell exit and the John Harbaugh exit and the John Harbaugh guys exit and the Pat Ricard exit, like all of that. Do tell. I can't wait to see. We're not going to see anything in the preseason. You're going to be out on the field. You and Jameson's Rebeck, everybody's been looking for things. And Chad Steele will be looking for a reason to throw all of you out. At some point, they're going to go out and play on the 13th of September against the Colts. And I'm assuming it's not going to look like it used to look in a lot of ways. But first down's got to be successful. That's all I'm
Sure.
going to say. That's all I'm going to
Yeah, I
say.
mean, and that applies for any offense, right? I mean, generally speaking, if you look at the percentage of drives that break down, you probably are going to find something that wasn't very good on first down, right? A pre-snap penalty, an incompletion, a run that gets stuffed for 2 yards, right? I mean, like whatever it might be, if you're in second and long, your odds of converting a first down, let alone scoring on that drive, drop pretty dramatically. So I'm in agreement with you, but that's where I think it will be interesting. You hear so much good about Declan Doyle. The players were very excited about it. Sean Payton's spoken about him in very flattering terms. All of that. You hear people around the league wonder, and you kind of look at Lamar Jackson's track record with a coordinator in the first year. Greg Roman, when he took over from Marty Morningwig, Lamar MVP. Todd Monken, first year with Lamar Jackson, Lamar MVP, right? So even if Lamar doesn't win an MVP, which he very well could because it's Lamar Jackson, you're still talking about excitement and optimism there. But they do have a lot of moving parts here with the O-line, with the tight end position, right? We've talked about that. Wide receiver, I mean, you love Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers is a heck of a football player. Zay Flowers is underrated in a lot of circles. But what about if something happens to Zay Flowers, right? You brought up Keaton Mitchell in terms of him no longer being in the picture. What if something happens to Derrick Henry? What does running game look like then? So yeah, there are some, as is always the case with the salary cap era, they have some areas where there is some shaky depth and some uncertainty. So the offense, I think that, there's when you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, there's always going to be excitement about your offense, right? I mean, there's no question about that. But there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of new pieces to integrate here. And again, you're talking about a first-time play calling offensive coordinator. I think the upside is very much there. But what does it look like coming out of the gate? What does it look like early in the season? And that's where you do look at the schedule on paper. You and I have talked about that from the moment the schedule came out. It's pretty forgiving early on paper. Now, you never know, right? You never know if a team that was bad last year is suddenly good, vice versa. Injuries are always a big part of that, but the schedule does not look like the schedule looked on paper early last year when they got off to a 1-5 start, right? So you hope that helps you. But for me, I mean, the expectations need to be really high for the defense, right? I mean, you look at some of the high-priced players. You look at the fact that Jesse Minter is going to be calling the defense. You've got Anthony Weaver as the defensive coordinator, who, no, isn't going to be calling the plays on Sundays, but is still going to be very important when it comes to the game planning and putting together what they're going to do over the course of the week. You have all-pro talent and big-time contracts at every level of this defense. This needs to be a really good defense. Like,
All the more reason to think they should it should excel early in the season given the
yeah.
schedule.
And because of everything I
Week
mentioned with
three, they need to be a top five defense or
no
look
doubt
like
about
that,
it,
right?
especially because of everything I mentioned with the offense, that there could be a couple hiccups here and there with the offense early on. Not that I think it'll be bad, You know, I don't know if you can have a bad offense if you have a healthy Lamar Jackson. I don't know if that's possible, but it could be choppy. It could be a little inconsistent. There could be some growing pains with the interior offensive line, right? I mean, but the defense, man, especially, and we're going to find out, and you know, there continues to be, I don't know, probably more than guarded optimism when it comes to Matt Ibike, but until we really see how that looks, yes, that's still a question mark. But they've got Trey Hendrickson now. And, you know, they've got a secondary that I think is, you know, I'd like them to have a little more outside corner depth. You know, that's some one thing I do point to and say, okay, you know, if there's something about the secondary I'm a little uneasy about, but
Well, you'll see some of that in these goofy preseason games, right?
sure. Yeah. I
Like
mean,
that's we talk about what are we looking for in these games nobody watches, that
we're
nobody
always looking
cares
for
about,
depth,
or
guys.
that we look forward to, and then the minute it starts, we're like, oh, fake football again.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to interject to you. You made this All-Star game thing, and I basically shat upon you for not driving from Wildwood back to Philly to see the All-Star game, that it wasn't important to you or whatever. You're like, it's an All-Star game. And I'm thinking to myself, literally, even when I sold this to my wife, like, hey, I'm getting on the train. And by the way, the train was $5, no lie, to Philly.
Sweet.
So I didn't spend a lot of money in Philly. But like, I'm like, she's half like, you're going to Philly for the All-Star. You don't even like real baseball. It's fake baseball. I'm like, what do you mean it's fake baseball? It's a real All-Star game. And Pete Rose and Ray Fosse and I'm like, and we're getting one. And it's going to be. And she's like, do you watch the NHL All-Star? Do you watch the NBA? You make fun of the Pro Bowl every year. You go to the Super Bowl. You fly away, buy a hotel room so you can make fun of the Pro Bowl. So I don't know why the All-Star game still holds some, hope for me. So I'm just saying, like, preseason, they still sell it, and they wear the helmets and like all of that. Just finding some level of value in it, in the way that I tried to find value in the Adley Rutschman answers last week, or value in my friendships that I ran into people. Preseason football, if there's value in it to somebody, and they're charging people for it, I guess. But I think the real value next couple of weeks is going to be the fringes of the roster and what happens if something happens to Roquan? What happens if Ronnie Stanley? What happens if Marlon Humphrey? What happens if, all of these veteran players, and Derrick Henry too. That's where I went back to Keaton Mitchell and thought, who's going to spell him? Because it better not be Lamar so much. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, look, Derrick Henry at some point in time, it might still be 3 years from now, who knows? At some point in time,
Dude,
he's
I
really going
said
to
they were
start
winning the
slowing
Super Bowl
down.
with him, and they damn well better do it.
But at some point in time, it is going to happen. And, you know, I'm not saying it becomes he falls off a cliff, but it could be that he gets nicked up a little bit more, right? He has an ankle injury, he
Dude,
has a hamstring
you know
injury,
what? The
whatever.
cliff gets way worse if the center's no good.
Sure. Well, that's why
If
they
the
need it.
left tackle got old.
Sure, no question. I mean, like we said, they are counting on some veteran players at some really important positions. There's no doubt about that. That's where, you know, I think this team still has upside as impressive as anyone in the league, other than maybe the Rams at this point with Myles Garrett now, right? Added to the mix. You know, the floor, when you have all the uncertainty of the newness of a new coaching staff and certain guys being another year older, counting at some new players at some pretty important positions, they have a lower floor this year than recent years. I mean, let's just call a spade, as much as everyone wants to continue to throw dirt on John Harbaugh even months after he's been fired, and is in New York now, the Ravens didn't have too many years where they were a losing team or went out there and had no chance under John Harbaugh, right? And I'm not, believe me, I'm not suggesting that for this group, but there is a lot more unknown when it comes to the coaching staff on down with this football team that, yeah, I still like them to win the division. I still like them to be a playoff team, assuming number eight is healthy, because that's always that's always the rub. I mean, that's been the rub with the Bengals, right? Joe Burrow not being healthy, and it's ruined their seasons when he has
Well,
him
that's the
down.
league at this
Yeah,
point,
of
right?
course, no question.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some unknown there. But yeah, I mean, like Derrick Henry, I do kind of look everyone behind him. I mean, Justice Hill's up there in age, right? And Justice Hill's coming off of an injury plague season. I know Steve Bisciotti drafted, Adam Randall, and I think he's a really interesting prospect. I sincerely do. I think he's someone, especially considering he was a wide receiver earlier in his collegiate career. I think he's a really interesting wild card kind of player, like a guy that you might be able to move around and do some different things with him. That said, if something happens to Derrick Henry in the first quarter of a game and he's sidelined for the rest of the game or something like that, I don't know if Adam Randall's gonna be ready to carry the ball 15 times. You know what I mean? Like, so, Rasheen Ali, like, yeah, like you don't have that, even though Keaton Mitchell had injuries himself and had limitations himself, wasn't good in blitz pickup and, never really showed great ability as a receiver. But you knew he had shown some ability that if he touches the ball, he's got a chance to go 70 yards. Like, that's what kind of home run hitter he is, that I just don't know if any of those other guys behind Derrick Henry have that any kind of juice like that. I mean, we'll see. So, but you just look at the roster overall. I mean, this should be a good to really good football team. I'm not ready to say that they're going to be the favorites in the AFC or anything like that. I need to see a whole lot as it pertains to some unknowns, including the coaching staff, before I'm ready to rubber stamp that. But this team has high expectations. But that's the challenge for Jesse Minter as a first-time head coach. Brady in Buffalo, that's the challenge for him. These are teams that have very high expectations, which is not typically what you find when you're firing your head coach, right? I'd say the same about, I guess, to some extent, McCarthy in Pittsburgh, but I don't think anyone thinks the Steelers, even though they won the division, I don't think anyone views the Steelers as having that kind of ceiling,
Hey,
right?
by the way, I mean, just in a general sense, and by the way, Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke, find him out on the other. Not to get off of the Ravens, but I feel like we've been beating this horse forever. And I'm going to go around the league and I'm going to call some of my people, and especially if the Orioles fall apart or aren't the factor that they need to be as we move into this and the election and just all the things I could be talking about in August. But the amount of change for the league and the amount of change here to keep it interesting in regard to Minter and the defense and Lamar's aging process and this 30-year-old whiz kid offensive coordinator. Just we have that. Pittsburgh has a new coach for the first time, in 25 years, and a quarterback who's 43. Cincinnati's navigating the Joe Burrow possibilities for where they are. Cleveland's a mess. I didn't even talk about them, but Buffalo's got a new stadium and a new coach, right? There's just a lot going on around the league. I mean, the Vrabel-Rossini thing, the scandal that all of that is with where the Patriots were, where the Broncos played without their quarterback. I just think this is where the league really wins people in a way that we could talk about the Orioles as being sort of sucky and still on the outside looking into the wild card, maybe, and okay, and whatever. And nobody's really good in baseball except the Dodgers, and they're good because, like, look at how much money they spend and look at the way they do it. And the Knicks were a great story for, but they captivated Knicks fans, but I don't know that it captivated everybody. The NFL is this thing that I feel like there's been an exhale. I feel like World Cup. I feel like even for you and me, even around town, nobody's been coming up to me talking about Lamar or Minter or whatever. They've had a honeymoon here. They've had a quiet time. They've made Justin Tucker go bye-bye. They haven't had to answer any questions about any of that. They're into some blue water here, especially if the Orioles aren't going to be relevant August 20th, let alone September 13th, that they get a breath of fresh air with this because Harbaugh's not going to be wah, 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 wah. Is that a football question? Phrase that better. I'm Adley Rutschman. I think that they are that the whole league has had a little bit of a nap for me that the World Cup may be brought on in some way that just feels like, boy, it's been a while since the NFL played. It's about time. Not, oh shit, here they go. Here they come again. I don't feel that way. Maybe you do on the inside, but it feels like it's time for football in some way. And for us to talk about the reset of quarterbacks and coaches and our division and this franchise, because the outside looking in is like, wow, a lot of change there, right? To your point, navigating a lot of change and a lot of veteran.
Yeah, and I think it's really, I agree with a lot of what you just said there. I think what's interesting for me is look at the AFC right now. Like, not just the AFC North. I mean, the AFC North has three brand new head coaches, right? But you look at the AFC, what's it going to look like this year? I mean, I can literally go through all the playoff teams from last year and include the Ravens and the Chiefs in that, right? The Chiefs, is Patrick Mahomes going to be ready for week one? It sounds like he's going to be, but what's that going to look like? Is their running game truly going to be better after they gave Kenneth Walker all that money, right? They need it to be. I mean, that was one of the major reasons for their downfall was they couldn't run the ball. It was on Mahomes. He was having to run more. Of course, you know, that he gets hurt very late in the season and you're certainly not going to have him taking off and running, to any meaningful degree, especially early in the season, coming off of an ACL injury. But you look at these teams, and I'll do it right now. New England, you already mentioned the Vrabel thing. Will that have a major effect on the field? Probably not, but that's a distraction. That's a distraction that the entire organization has been asked about. Players are wondering, like, what's the deal here? But also the fact that they lost the Super Bowl. We've heard about the Super Bowl hangover for decades now. But also, and I say take nothing away from them. They had a great season last year, New England did. But we also know the Patriots had an all-time kind of easy schedule on paper that they had that they're not going to have this year. So they're going to be the hunted, right? They're not going to be the hunter that's going to surprise anyone. So what does that look like? Does Drake May have a, the next step in him? Buffalo, you already mentioned them. New stadium? Sure, plenty of juice for that. You got Josh Allen, right? You got a chance with Josh Allen in the same way that the Ravens have a chance with Lamar
Look at
Jackson.
this Patriots schedule, dude, out of the gate. Have you looked at their schedule?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, are they going to.
Seattle, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville on the road, Bills on the road. Woo,
Like,
boy, oh boy.
you could tell me right now they don't even make the playoffs, and I'd believe you. Like, I'm not saying that they're definitely not going to, but that's what kind of schedule there is on
Yeah,
paper
but
that they.
the Jets and the Browns and the Raiders and the constant problem children in the NFL, the Colts becoming that at some point. Like, yeah, there are definitely some weak teams that
There
can't
are,
get up and
but.
even crawl, let alone walk. I mean, the Ravens didn't make the playoffs with the genius of John Harbaugh, $100 million coach, and Lamar Jackson. They're all going to the Hall of Fame. They missed a kick and 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers walked into the play. You know what I mean? Like 41, 42, 40, 45, I don't know what he
42,
is.
yeah.
We're a year removed from all of that and disappointments in various places. Harbaugh's brother out in I was going to say San Diego because I call it El Segundo, doing it in the South Bay of LA. To your point, there are expectations on Minter that I don't want to say they're higher than they were on John Harbaugh, but they kind of are to some degree because, like, it is now or never for Lamar and for Mark Andrews and all the veterans we mentioned a little while ago that were all like Father Time, undefeated Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley, Roquan Smith, Mark Andrews, Derrick Henry down the line. And we're seeing all of that, but all I see here is, man, they better win 12, 13 games. They better, get a bye, and then they host a game and play in a Super Bowl, and they better be in LA because Lamar, 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 right?
I mean, those are the expectations, right? I mean, that's if those weren't the expectations, why'd you fire John Harbaugh then, right? They went to the AFC title game, going on 3 years ago now. They were a Mark Andrews drop away from having a chance to go to the AFC title game the second straight year. And then last year they had a bunch of injuries and they were disappointing. There's no doubt. But But yeah, like just to continue my point, I mentioned New England, Buffalo, brand new head coach. What's that going to look like? New stadium, plenty of juice, but did they fix their defense? Do they have better wide receivers? I know they added DJ Moore. Is that enough? So AFC North, we've already talked about that. Brand new coach in Pittsburgh, quarterback a year older, defense a year older, and wasn't very good last year, despite all their big money players. Cincinnati, Zach Taylor's back. Is that a good thing? You know, over the years, I'm not a big Zach Taylor guy, but can Joe Burrow stay healthy? Can T. Higgins stay healthy? Because that's an unbelievable offense or potential for that offense. Defense, they signed, they acquired Dexter Lawrence. They added some other pieces. Is that defense better? Because it was horrible last year, right? It's been horrible the
We got
last
their
couple of
best
years.
player.
Yeah. And that's what, yeah, he Trey Hendrickson's gone, although he barely played last year. But point is, like, yeah, you can make an argument for the Bengals, and I think the Bengals are a legitimate threat for the, as it pertains to winning this division. But question marks. AFC South now. Jacksonville. Great season last year. But we also know that you'll see teams have a great season that come out of nowhere, and then what happens the next year? They fall right back to
Well,
where they
Coach
kind of
got a lot
were.
of credit there
He did.
in fixing that,
But you have
right?
to build it. Houston. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Houston, and I think it's, that defense is terrific. DeMeco Ryans is a good head coach. I like their program, but man, I'd be lying to you if I didn't look at that objectively from where CJ Stroud was as a rookie and the lack of progression and improvement from him. Houston's been a disappointment to me, quite frankly, the last year or two. Not because, they made the playoffs, sure, but they were a team that a couple years ago, keep in mind, the Ravens needed a big second half in Baltimore in that divisional round game to pull away. Houston was giving them everything they could handle in that first half, and that was really surprising at the time because the Ravens, looked like the best team in football, until Kansas City came in the following week and stole their lunch money. But from that moment, I would have thought, man, Houston, I think, is ready to be one of those Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, top tier kind of teams. And they haven't really graduated from that moment. So will this be the year? It's a big year for CJ Stroud. I'll leave it at that. And then in the AFC West, I mean, who the heck knows, right? Raiders, okay, put them to the side, right? No one's expecting them to be anything. But those other three teams, Denver, I mean, they had to think about their all offseason. They had to think about what happened with Bo Nix and what that could have meant in the AFC title game. That could have been their shot if Bo Nix doesn't get hurt there, because it's not like New England, blew him out or anything like that. We all remember what that game was like in the snow. The Chargers, like they did the, they make the change at coordinator. They bring in Mike McDaniel. Like, that's a really interesting team, but it's the Chargers, right? They still have in their DNA to they're the bridesmaid, but never the bride. And then, as I mentioned with Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. Is he going to be ready week one? If he is, what does that look like? What does that look like in week six? What does that look like in week 11? Travis Kelce's another year older and he's married to Taylor Swift now, right? I mean, like, what does he have left in the tank? I
Did they get
mentioned,
married?
I think I heard something about that, right? At the Garden or something.
I didn't see any pictures.
That Kansas City, like, are they just, was this a 1 year aberration for them and they're right back to being at the top of the class, or have they gotten old? I mean, keep in mind, it wasn't just Mahomes getting hurt. It wasn't just their running game. Their defense really fell off last year.
Yeah, the
So,
whole program looked a little
yeah.
tired and
So
sloppy and old.
I literally, okay, I didn't mention the Dolphins. I didn't mention the Jets. I didn't mention the Browns. I didn't mention Indianapolis. I mean, if you want to, the Colts got off to a good start last year,
You're not
maybe.
making a Super Bowl
I'm,
case for any
yeah,
of
with
those
Daniel
teams.
Jones, I'm just right. I'm Tennessee. I think Tennessee actually, for where they were last year, they could, if you're asking me to name a sleeper team that could be in like the playoff hunt, like surprisingly, maybe the Titans, but I certainly don't view them as a top contender or anything like that. And I mentioned the Raiders. I literally went through every team in the AFC that you would perceive as being a team that has a good chance to be in the playoffs, And I poked holes in all of them.
Yeah, none of them look like they're going to crush the current
Right.
Chiefs do not feel like the old Chiefs of
They're not
beating the
going to go
Ravens,
15 and
other
2.
than
Yeah.
Mahomes getting in your head if he's coming in here for a
Right.
championship game.
So that's where you look at that if you're the Ravens or you're the Bills with a brand new head coach as well, or you're a team like the
I
Bengals.
just
Let's
wrote
face
off
it.
Patrick Mahomes, did I? Did I just do that?
I
Did I
mean,
write him off in July? Did I
I'll
just do
never
that?
write that guy off, but I'm going to
Dude.
acknowledge questions about that football team right now.
Okay.
Hey, they were, I mean, they were 6-11 last year,
Probably shouldn't have done that, but yeah, they were 6-11
They were
last year.
6-11. I mean,
File on. Go ahead.
and let's be clear, Mahomes, their season was already cooked when he got hurt, right? I mean, they weren't making the playoffs. He got hurt very late. So,
Yeah, you and I are going all in on a purple team that got their coach fired.
I'm saying the Ravens are, you look at those.
League's beautiful, dude. You know
Whereas,
what? You don't. If you like it, bet on it. You can go bet on it if you like it that
right.
much.
Now, I will say this, in the NFC, the Rams, the Seahawks, of course, being the defending champions. Some people put Philly in there,
The
but
Lions had their 5 minutes. You know, I mean, there were some teams that you get. I mean, I believe in the Vikings coach, but they don't have a quarterback, right?
right.
Their
No, but I'm just,
quarterback just won the Super Bowl in Seattle. You know,
but I guess the point I'm trying to make though is I'll look at Seattle and I'll look at the Rams. They look like a different tier than anything in the AFC right now. And that's where I kind of look at that and say, ooh, what, man, they look like they could be juggernauts. Now, they might cannibalize each other a little bit because they play each other twice, and you still have San Francisco on that division as well. But
and the Eagles are always dangerous. You know, like
yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles are interesting to, just because of the AJ Brown drama, what does that mean? They've got a new coordinator. They've had this thing where their offense looks great, they lose their coordinator, and then their offense is the you know what's the following year, right? I mean, so does Jalen Hurts bounce back this year? I mean, it's a really interesting year in Philadelphia for a
Harbaugh
team.
with the Giants, huh? Harbaugh
Yeah.
with, and the
Well,
quarterback's off being a diva. Oh my God, it's something, isn't it? It's
it
something.
is, but I also I will give John Harbaugh the respect that's deserved that the Giants will be better than they've been in recent years. I mean, that doesn't mean they're but I just look, again, I was kind of focusing on the AFC. It's really on, even on paper, when you just kind of look at this, man, you could make a convincing argument for or against just about everyone I mentioned, right? I mean, just about every team I mentioned there. And man, to your point, I mean, it's exactly what Roger Goodell wants. It's exactly what the
Well, the
owners want.
Commanders believe they have a quarterback because they were in a championship game a minute and a half ago. I'm just looking down. I mean, Green Bay believes they have a quarterback. Down the line, Tampa Bay, even there, like you count Baker Mayfield, you don't see him coming week two in a playoff game at you.
Yeah,
So I'm not saying none of those teams are frightening me in any way, but they're
I
not the
just think,
Jets or the Browns or, the
right.
Wobegons. None of those are the Wobegons.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, like just kind of looking at the league collectively, I mean, I look at the Seahawks and the Rams kind of in the top tier. But then you kind of, after that, it's a lot of questions. A lot of questions for teams that, and let me be clear, teams that I think are going to be good, and some of them could be great, but there's some real questions. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say the Ravens don't have the potential to be a 12-5, 13-4 team. If everything clicks the way you hope it does, and some of the young guys take the next step, and some of the old guys fight off Father Time one more year, yeah, the Ravens could end up being the number one seed. Sure. I'll hear that argument, but I also will hear an argument for they do have a rookie head coach. And they do have a first-time off play calling offensive coordinator. And they do have some veteran players, even some veteran players with some injury histories at some pretty key spots. And they did lose some pretty important players from last year's team. And you are counting on, a brand new interior offensive line, right, to protect your franchise quarterback. And not that the old one didn't have its weaknesses at guard, but you get my point. So you can kind of look at this, and I could make an argument for the Ravens to win 13 games. I could probably make an argument for them to be, kind of in similar territory to where they were last year. I don't think so. I think they'll be better than that. But, if you get a couple injuries at like for example, I'll just give you one that I haven't mentioned yet. What if something happens to Ronnie Stanley? Is Carson Vinson ready to be the left tackle? Are you going to move Roger Rosengarten over to the left side? Like, you don't have Patrick McCary, who at the very least you could depend on as a guy that you could plug and play if Stanley missed a couple games. So those are the kind of questions that they have. But in fairness and in defense of the Ravens, all teams have some questions at some pretty important spots like that. I mean, that's the nature of the beast, and that's why health is so important. And it's why I'll continue to go back to something I said at this time a lot, or at this time last year, I said this a lot. That team 2 years ago for the Ravens stayed so healthy, and they didn't break through then. Last year, they didn't stay healthy. Can they stay healthy this year, right? Because again, you do look at the depth, and it's going to be tested. Mark Andrews, like if something happens to him, if he's not effective, if he gets hurt, I mean, you're talking about two rookies, two completely unproven rookies at tight end. Whereas, you had Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler the last couple of years who could do a really nice job for you filling in. So, that's the nature of the game. I'm not being, this isn't doom and gloom. The sky is falling. These are the kind of questions that you're going to have. So to go back to your original question that you had for me with Eric DaCosta, I think he's optimistic. I think he's excited. I think everyone is rejuvenated by just the newness of it all. But you have to navigate a whole lot of new as well. And that's where there could be some pitfalls here, in addition to just the run-of-the-mill things that can happen over the course of a football season.
Week one in Indianapolis, 13th September. Feels like a long way away, but I know it's not. Oriole trade deadlines next week. Luke's going to be at the ballpark on the weekend as well. Orioles in and out and in and out. Phillies in next week as well. Training camp begins in earnest the middle of next week. At the end of this week, we are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Pizza John's in Essex. I am going to get a crab cake there because people don't think they have one, and they do. The wings are delicious there too. And I had my first ever milkshake. First ever dairy ice cream product at Pizza John's, the delicious strawberry milkshake. Put more ice cream in there than I probably would have done at home. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. On Friday, we'll be at Pizza John's. John Allen of Stone Horses, SR71, Child's Play, my pal, will be joining me on Friday. And this was his idea. He said to me, because John does this, and we're going to do a whole thing on this on Friday. We do like a whole Dundalk accent thing where he'll call me and say, "Hey, G," I'm like, "No, Jew." And he said, "You want me to be at the mall?" And they're taking East Point Mall away. We're going to go visit the mall one last time. We're going to meet at the Crafty Crab at 5 o'clock for one beer and cheer and walk through and talk about the Penguins and Safety Town and where I met that girl there and where those guys fought over there and where Joe Elliott got chased by the cops there and jumped into the water fountain and. We were mall rat degenerates. What can I say? This is how it turned out. But we're going to be there on Friday. Then we're going to Costas in Dundalk to have my first crab, my first crustacean of 2026, which I gotta take my Maryland card if I don't start crossing these bridges and start doing things around here. We're going to be at Costas in Timonium next Thursday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with GBMC. And Farnan and Dermer, they are the comfort guys. Change your filter. That was Zach's word this week. And by all means, if you need to get your HVAC checked out, hit our guys at the comfort guys. Luke is comfortably back into some semblance of a pennant race. He's already got his tan, so he's working. He's not going to get the farmer tan thing going on like some guys are out of Owings Mills next week. We have football ahead, baseball here. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.